Welcome to the Congressional Awards Foundation podcast, Elevating DC Youth, a collaboration between the Office of Cable Television, Film, Music, and Entertainment, and the Congressional Award Foundation. This podcast is intended to help guide DC students through the opportunities the Congressional Award Program offers and provide information on how to explore the Congressional Award Program's pathways to career goals.
Hello, and welcome to the Congressional Award Podcast, Elevating DC Youth. I'm Jessica Smith from DMO Radio Broadcast. I'm one of your hosts.
Hi, and I'm Ayanna Morgan from Deanwood Radio Broadcast, and I'll be your other host for this podcast.
Deanwood Radio Broadcast Journalism Program is a mass media program that focuses on networking, radio broadcasting operations, and the journalistic arts. Now let's meet our guest, Barbara Humpton. Barbara Humpton is president and CEO of Siemens Corporation, where she guides the company's strategy and engagement in serving the community's largest market. Siemens USA employs approximately 45,000 people, serving customers in all 50 states, including Puerto Rico, and generated $18.6 billion in revenue in the fiscal year 2022. She views the true purpose of technology as expanding what's humanly possible. She also is passionate about diversity, STEM education, and what she calls a work-life blend that honors her priorities, both at Siemens and as a grandmother. Most recently, Humpton served as president and CEO of Siemens Government Technologies, a leading integrator of Siemens products and services for the federal government agencies and departments. In this role, Humpton also served as an officer director and member of the board of SGT.
Barbara Humpton is a graduate of Wake Forest University with a bachelor's degree in mathematics. Barbara is the chairman of the Siemens Corporation Board, the Siemens Foundation, and the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments, CSBA. She was recently appointed by U.S. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo to the 2022-2024 U.S. Investment Advisory Council, the IAC, to advise the Secretary on how policies and programs can attract foreign direct investments to the U.S. She serves on the Board of Directors of the American Heart Association, Greater Washington Region, Triumph Group, National Association of Manufacturers, the NAM, Chief Executive for Corporate Purposes, the CECP, Economic Club of Washington, D.C., and the CB Memorial Scholarship Association. Today's topic is career growth and sustainability practices from CEO perspective with Barbara Humpton. Thank you so, so much for joining us today.
Ayanna, thank you. And Jessica, to both of you, that was quite an introduction. I appreciate it.
Of course, no problem.
So let's just start with our first question. Ms. Humpton, I would just like to know, what is your routine as a CEO, and how do you think it differs from other CEOs in other industries?
And you're talking about my daily routine, the things that I do each and every day. Well, I'll tell you, what I am really committed to is this concept of the work-life blend. When I started my career, I started my family at about the same time. And the whole question was, can you do both? And in the olden days, people really thought you couldn't, but it turns out it's actually possible. And part of that is because what we find is that when we lead organizations, people want to be given the opportunity to do more. So my job often involves delegating things out to others so I can take care of priorities for me. So like working in exercise, working in time with my family, making sure that I'm here with my husband and have the chance to spend quality time with him. And just something that I don't share often, but I'll share with you, is I love puzzles. So every single day I work the New York Times crossword puzzle and I do Wordle.
I've gone to puzzles as well. I've resorted to puzzles, especially when I'm in between works. So if I go to another program that my mom keeps me occupied in, and you know, just in between, I go to puzzles as well. They're usually, you know, they keep your mind energized while you're resting, so you don't completely go.
You are absolutely right.
Yeah.
Hi, Barbara. So for our next question, I would like to ask, for those listening and are interested in entering like the marketing field or even becoming a CEO themselves, what would you say goes into increasing engagement and developing strategies for a company like Siemens? And I was wondering if there's any tips and tricks on staying successful and efficient with the strategies put in place, if you can share.
Yeah, let's think about business strategy. What's it all about? Well, you know, what we're trying to do is build organizations that will last. And one of the best things is to understand what are the market forces affecting our business. At Siemens, we're experts in electrification, automation, digitalization. We're in worlds of manufacturing, building trains, working in buildings and the electric grid. And so years ago, our leaders settled a business strategy around what they call global megatrends. They said, what are the things happening in the world that are going to keep happening year in and year out, almost no matter what else happens? Climate change, urbanization, people getting older and older, the global supply chain becoming more and more intricate. Those were examples of global megatrends. And what we did was we built a business strategy around those trends. We said, if we can work in these areas, then we know that the changing world will support our innovation. But for my advice for people who want to be meaningful, want to play meaningful roles in business strategy, the number one thing is to learn to get into the shoes of your customer. Think like your customers. Try to figure out what are the problems they're trying to solve. And what do you know? What can you bring to the table that can help solve those issues? And what you'll find is you'll never lose your relevance.
Thank you. I really love that advice. Thank you so much.
And Barbara, I heard you talked about the strategies of, you know, going towards your market and targeting people who, you know, you want to, I guess, elevate in that part of the industry. So a lot of things that's coming back is that, especially our generation, Ayana and I, we are bringing things back and we are also interested in older technologies. I know sometimes we act like it's new, but a lot of us want to own boomboxes. I have a record player down there that I'm very excited to have. So when it comes to modernization, other things like that, what part of that strategy also, I guess, goes towards when people want to have a certain aesthetic or nostalgia?
I love your focus because the fact is we don't have to keep replacing things. Newer isn't necessarily better, right? And what we find with a lot of the technologies we work with, they actually stay effective for decades at a time. I mean, imagine when we build a train, you don't throw it away a year or two later. So we really have to build things to stay and build things to last. But I also like the idea of thinking about recycling, the idea that there were things that were made that we can use and make use of in new and different ways. What I would tell you is that we have an opportunity for people like you to be examining what's available to us. What can we upcycle these days? Things that had previous uses that we can use in our everyday lives. So what you'll find is that when people like you, Ayana and Jessica, the two of you who are coming in with your perspectives of what appeals to you today, I hope you're going to be joining a workforce of multiple generations. And there are going to be a lot of people in the workplace who are going to love the fact that you appreciate the things that they grew up with. And then you can also bring some new ideas, new thoughts into the work that's being done. I see this all the time in our manufacturing environment in particular. You know, hey, we're still building things. And there are people who've known how to work with their hands and craft very complex products that go out to market. But we've been bringing folks like you into those workplaces and finding out how the new technologies you know how to use can enhance what we've been doing one way for a long, long time.
With knowing that it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and energy being a CEO of a corporation, and with knowing that being a grandmother is one of your favorite titles and that you love taking time out to do puzzles and work out, I want to know, how do you balance your work life as well as your home life? And what advice could you give on those just entering the field and have a family of their own or have their own personal responsibilities and are trying to find that balance between home and work?
Well, part of this is understanding that, you know, you'll do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. You'll find that there are moments in your business life, your work life, where it's all consuming. Whether you're running your own business or whether you're working for somebody else, there's something that needs to be done in the moment. And if you're a great employee, if you're a great boss, you'll get on it and work that issue. if it turns out that there's also at the same time something hectic going on in your private life, then you have to make a decision. And the question is, where is it that only you can solve the problem? What I often found was it was home things where only I could be there and solve the problem. And what I needed to do was work with my team. Sometimes it was me as a member of a team. Sometimes it was me as a leader of the team, asking others to help, explaining the situation. What I found is that the more open you can be about the situation you're dealing with, it helps people understand how important it is for them to step in and help. And then it also frees them to realize that they can also share their own stresses and ask you from time to time to step in and help. In my experience, it's actually created better teamwork when we're all just honest with each other that we're real people and we have competing priorities in our lives. Sometimes it gets stressful. Let's help each other.
I love that. And I also like to talk to you more about the beginning stages of your career, mm-hmm. as in, how did you get started? Is this the field that you have always envisioned yourself? And what made you choose marketing? If you're not in this field, what do you believe you'd be doing now?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, when I was in third grade and they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I actually said a grandmother. I mean, my mind was so full of so many things I wanted to do that I just, you know, I just punted and said, I want to be a grandmother. And then when I went to college, I specifically went in studying mathematics because I wanted to be a math professor like my parents. But IBM came to campus and they were hiring math majors to learn how to be computer programmers. This was back in the day when there wasn't a computer programming major. I mean, I tell people it's when computer programming was still being invented. And so they were teaching mathematicians how to program computers. I got into it and started working on really interesting projects. And before long, I was a manager. And before long, I was managing teams of programming forces. And what I discovered is that the thing I liked best was connecting people who maybe weren't communicating very well. So on big, hard projects, imagine working on something like the Global Positioning System, the software that keeps a satellite constellation in orbit. That's the kind of project that IBM took on. Here I was a manager in that field. And what I learned is that I had a special skill for explaining it to people in plain English and working with customers, working with suppliers, working across teams when they had real problems to solve. And that led to different kinds of leadership positions. And so, you know, with all of that, it's amazing how starting out, everybody said, you know, back in the day, yeah, you had to go to college and you had to, you know, come out with a degree. Otherwise, you weren't going to be successful. I met so many colleagues who did not have college degrees, you know, who maybe studied music and got into computer programming. What we do when we're in our teens and our 20s, it's important because what we're doing is learning how to learn. We're learning what we like to do. We're learning what makes us happy. And then it turns out that following our paths can take us in very, very different directions. In 5 years ago, I'm just coming up on my five-year anniversary as the CEO of Siemens USA. I didn't even know this job existed until I had joined the Siemens Corporation and in a different part of the company. And when I saw what the job involved, I realized I had, over the years, developed exactly the right skills to make me a candidate for the position. And I raised my hand and said I wanted to be considered. And I can tell you these last 5 years have been an absolute joy and a privilege.
I love that so much.
You know, one of the things I'll share with you, Ayana, is people often ask me, how do you move up in the organization? And mm-hmm. I love to ask them in return, which way is up for you? Right. There are some people who, like me, say, hey, I think I'm pretty good at running an organization. So, yes, climbing up the organization chart. Other people say, I'm really good with customers. So out is up for them. And then there are people who want to be technical experts. And it turns out going deep into a subject is up for them. So, you know, wherever you are, don't get caught up in feeling that you have to follow a path because other people say that's the way to go. I tell you, there are so many great jobs to be done right now that you can pick your path based on what you find to be interesting.
I love that because I feel like it really opens up perspectives for, especially for students and people getting into the career field, that they're not limited just to one option that's, you know, close to the major. They're able to branch out and, like you said, find which way is up for them. And I really do appreciate that.
Yeah. And, you know, if people are thinking about what should I study, you know, let's say I'm trying to pick my classes in high school or I'm trying to pick my classes in college, you know, if they go to college, then don't get all hung up about how this is going to define the rest of your life. It won't. You can keep learning all the way through your life. But, you know, what I hope people are doing is taking the time to learn to write, learn to express yourself. Take the time to learn some technology that maybe is unfamiliar to you. So if you can get those basic building blocks, the finding out how you learn best, do you learn best by working side by side with someone, or do you learn best by first reading, studying, taking a formal class, earning a certificate or credential? There are many ways for you to put together the building blocks of your own life.
Yes.
So Barbara, we talked about patience and sort of on the topic of that. So a few weeks ago in April, you gave your very first commencement speech at the graduation at Miami-Dade College. And for context, you were asked by an individual about choosing a major, and you said the decisions you make now don't have to determine the rest of your life. It's what you want for your life that would give you have a far greater pull than any specific job or field. How does that apply to people who are studying to or already in the technology industry and want to move forward as you did?
Yeah, I actually think this applies at all stages of our life. So, you know, imagine you've reached a point in your life where you're bored with whatever it is you're doing. Or maybe you're thinking, I need to do more because I have family demands. I need a higher salary, or I need to move cities. Just know that you have the wherewithal to build the skills you need. And in fact, today it may be easier than ever before, now that we have so much online learning available to us. Again, you know, people used to be very prescriptive. You've got to finish high school, you've got to go to college, and whatever you major in, this is what's going to determine what you have access to with jobs. And right now, I'm telling you, you could choose to switch careers in the middle of that stream. I'll give you some examples. Someone who is today leading our cyber work. She's the chief information security officer of Siemens USA. Didn't start there, right? She actually made a decision to switch streams, become an expert in cyber, and she has that. She's humming now, and she's in a leadership position. Greg Bowman, who's in our Siemens Government Technologies, was a lawyer in the Army for an entire career, and when he left the military, he said, I chose to come to Siemens because you told me that I could have the opportunity to try being a project manager. And now he's actually leading strategy for Siemens Government Technologies because he has both. He has the insight into what the government customer needs, and he has these skills around how we do energy projects, et cetera. And so the perfect leader to be able to drive our business to another level as we work with the federal government. Examples of people who've chosen to switch horses in the middle of the stream. It's nothing to be afraid of. And one of my goals, actually, personally, is to reach more, especially women. You know, people who are raising families often think I've got to step aside and really, you know, focus on the kids. And that's a great choice to make. But I want people to know that they can choose then to step back into the workforce. And there are all kinds of programs available to get people ready for new careers, whether they do an apprenticeship, whether they use their community college to get skilled up in something that's in high demand. All I'll tell you is there's more work to be done these days than there are people to do all the work. And so you all, as you're approaching your working years, should think about just the choice is yours. What are you most excited by?
And I'm glad that you talked about, well, you mentioned that the start of your career was also when you started your family, and then you touched on prescriptivism, sort of. And as a young person, that's a lot of things that you hear, especially because we're so criticized because of our free ways of thinking and our ability to, you know, relinquish things that causes stress to us. So when it comes to having the capacity to, I guess, relax or step away from your job or your profession and just, you know, be, I guess, you know, collect yourself sometimes. Does that happen when you have gained some seniority or some experience, or can it happen at any time?
Talk about the work-life blend. My husband just launched a printer job. Oh. If you're hearing a printer in the background, I wonder how many pages he chose to print. Apparently, I didn't tell him that we're actually recording a podcast for our good friend Paxton. And it's still going. I'm going to let this run one more minute. Okay.
I ordered 70 pages at a library 2 weeks ago for my final, and the library was slipping in like I was crazy. So you mentioned earlier that at the start of your career was also the start of your family, and you touched upon the topic of, you know, prescriptivism and being prescriptive. And I was just asking, when it comes to the work-life balance and, you know, taking time to take breaks away from your profession, to step away and do things that you want to prioritize for yourself other than your work, does that come when you gain seniority in your profession, or when you've gained experience, or can it happen at any time, any point?
So this is interesting because I was told early in my career, you can't be a mother and an executive. And this was supposed to be a coach who was, you know, going to help me. He was encouraging me to be careful with my choices. I think what he didn't realize is I already had two children at that time. And so I really, early in my career, I just thought that that choice had been made and that I was not going to be on an executive track. And so the choices I made were there were times when I was leaving the office and going to the playing field to be with my kids or going to the concert. But there, I will tell you that inside of me is a really powerful driver that says, no, I want to get the job done too. And so there are times when my kids had to sacrifice because there was something going on at work that needed my attention at the moment. So I'm going to tell you from the very beginning, you need to feel comfortable making these kinds of choices. And again, I would encourage you to remember that the people around you want to get to know you as a person. And so don't be afraid to share those details of your personal life and to say, you know, hey, my grandmother is celebrating her birthday and I need to be there because grandmothers are important. And feel free to make that a priority. And I'm certain that if you're in the right kind of workplace, they're going to understand that and support you.
And speaking of sharing our personal life a little bit, I feel like everyone loves to share the successes and wins, but I believe that sharing our losses as well can allow us to learn from our mistakes and to grow to be more efficient in our careers. So I was just wondering if you could share any examples of where something went wrong for you or was a challenge for you, and how did you overcome that challenge, or if there's any advice you could share on working through that.
So one of the things that was always fun, especially in a very large organization, I've always worked with in large organizations. There's always the way things are supposed to be done. And then there's all of the discussions about whether this is really the right way for things to be done. And so what I loved having at all times was a couple of really good friends where I could go to their office or they could come to mine and we could close the door and we could sort of say to each other, ain't it crazy? You know, just a safe place to vent. And to know that, well, you know, I'm not the only one who thinks, you know, whatever is going on in this company is crazy. So there are moments like that for sure. And I think we always need to respect that. So one of my favorite things to always ask as a leader, when I get into meetings, when we're talking about, you know, how the organization is doing, I just love to open it up to what rumors are you hearing? It's a great way for people to tell you what's actually going on in the organization, because then it's not, hey, here's how I feel about this situation. It's, I heard a rumor that people are unhappy about this or that. Anyway, it's a good way to sort of flush out, you know, what are the things that aren't working well that we need to go address? But if I were to tell you about, you know, something where you'd say, hey, you know, that felt like a personal failure, it would be the day that I was called into, I was a middle level executive. And I was called into my boss's office. And what she said was, we've determined your job that you have today is a really fantastic proving ground, training ground for future CEOs. And we've decided that we would like to ask you to step aside and we're going to put one of our CEO candidates into the position. I mean, so in one fell swoop, I learned two things. One, I'm not considered a talent capable of becoming a CEO. And two, this job that I love, they're asking me to step aside. And at the moment, it felt like the worst day of my career. And I really, in a moment, you know, had a moment of wondering what happens next. But it turns out that what you might think of as a failure, the worst day of your career so far, can set you on a path to something completely new and different. What happened after that fateful day was an introduction to Booz Allen Hamilton. I made a career change, went to a new organization. And while I was at Booz Allen Hamilton, I got the phone call that invited me to come to Siemens. And once I joined Siemens, I had found my people. You know, I was surrounded by people who love engineering and math. They wanted to work with a person who loves to connect the dots and is a communicator. I fit right in and it had found my place. So if it had not been for that horrible day, I don't know that I ever would have even explored anything different. And I don't think I'd be the CEO today.
Thank you.
Again, Barbara, thank you for being on the podcast with us today. And I just wanted to ask one last question before we let you go. Siemens has maintained distinction in serving as a resource to the country for over 160 years. And since you joined Siemens in 2011, how do you think you have contributed to the company's legacy?
Well, I think what I'm so excited about is while I was at Siemens Government Technologies when I started in 2011, man, we helped Siemens serve the U.S. federal government in new and different ways. We did energy projects for the largest military installation in the Caribbean. We did a fence-to-fence overhaul on their energy. We have remapped, using digital tools, the Navy's shipyards, starting at Pearl Harbor. The Navy used our tools to plan efficiency changes that could be made there. We've introduced concepts that are leading to electric motors for airplanes. Think about that. Think about quiet airplanes in the future running on electricity instead of fossil fuel powered jet engines. Just any number of innovations and initiatives like that just make me so proud. And today, as the CEO of Siemens overall, you're seeing the transformation of electricity, the grids, electric vehicle charging. You're going to see high-speed rail come to the United States. You're going to see manufacturing take on a whole new look. And I'm proud to say I've been here with Team Siemens as we've brought that to the marketplace.
Well, Miss Barbara or Grandma Barbara, thank you so, so much for being a guest on our show today. It has truly been a pleasure interviewing you and getting to know your position and your perspective.
Ayana and Jessica, thank you. It's a pleasure. And I wish you all the best. I hope you'll come to work for Siemens.
Well, thank you. And thanks to everyone for listening to the Congressional Award podcast, Elevating DC Youth. I'm Jessica Smith from Deanwood Radio Broadcast.
And I'm Ayana from Deanwood Radio Broadcast. And I hope you all have a great day.
You've been listening to the Congressional Awards Foundation podcast, Elevating DC Youth. The Congressional Awards Foundation podcast, Elevating DC Youth, is a collaboration between the Office of Cable Television, Film, Music, and Entertainment and the Congressional Award Foundation. For more information about the Congressional Award Foundation, visit congressionalaward.org.